Father, our message today is our reasonable service, our relationship to each other, which means to love one another. And the way we show our love for one another is interceding on behalf of others who belong to you. And we do that through prayer. Thank you for this time to just lift up this church as the body of Christ in prayer. Father, I lift us up to you in Christ Jesus and pray that we will be that body that is joined together in the unity of the faith, knitted together, each joint doing its part in love, Father, as that's the circulatory system of how your body operates, this body. And so we lift all these things up to you today, and we pray for this message to be delivered in love through the power of your Spirit, and may it be received in kind. So we thank you for this time, and we rejoice in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so for the last 3 weeks, we've been covering fellowship, and we've seen that we're all in this together as the family of God, koinonia, members of one another. And we learned 5 general principles of fellowship. First, humble yourself, as grace is given to the humble, and God resists the proud. So don't be proud about being humble. All right? That's an oxymoron. Can't be proud about being humble. 2, be clear-minded and vigilant. So when you see others sin, you ask God to search your own heart to see if you too have that sin and for Him to take it out of your life. 3, use the measure of faith God gave you. And that we all, 4, belong to each other as God's family in Christ, as each one of us is a member of His body and thus has a specific function to perform in His church, and there are no parts that are along for a free ride. What's the only thing, the only part of a body that's along for a free ride? What does George Schwarzenegger say? It's not a tumor. We're not here as a tumor. When I hear some mole running around, you know, just doing nothing. You're not a mole either for Satan. You're here having a specific function to perform, and that's why we baptized you in the Holy Spirit, as Paul says, and the Word says, that it's not only baptism in the water, but it's baptism by fire, the fire of the Holy Spirit to be in your life, that refiner's fire that will stir you to serve God, and then the Holy Spirit comes upon you, epi, and He gives you the supernatural capabilities He desires you to use as part of the body so that the body will function wholly and healthily. Healthily? Will function the way it's supposed to, right? As we all are in this together. So praise Him. That brings us to the fifth principle of fellowship. We are to know and use our God-given spiritual gifts, as this facilitates us growing together as the body into the head, serving one another in love, as this is our reasonable service. Meaning, this is what God expects for us to do, and it is only logical for us to do it, as we now are empowered to do so. So put your faith into action. And just do it. And do it in love. Amen? That's what we looked at, and we used Ephesians 4:15 through 16 to summarize this. And it says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. We talked about how we're going to edify ourselves through the spiritual gifts. Now we're going to talk about what it means to do it in love. So today, we're going to focus on the glue that holds us together in Christ. His agape, or His supernatural love. It isn't something that comes from within. It's something that is poured out in our heart. It comes from above. And you don't really know love unless you know Jesus. You may think you do, as love is an emotion, a human emotion that we, you know, the human emotions that we have when we're fond of one another, when we're excited for one another, and are sexually attracted to one another, and the beauty of others and all that. We think that's love, but that's just a cheap imitation of what God has for us. The supernatural love that is poured out in our hearts and is the same love that Christ demonstrated on the cross. God's divine expression of love coming true in our life. As we are in Christ, God is love. And when we're in Christ, guess what we're in? Love. Amen? That's like the ocean we're in. We talk about grace all the time. Grace, how should I say? Grace is the tool that God uses for us to save us from being sinners, to turn us into saints, and the power, the resurrection power by which we live a life acceptable to God. It's the tool. It's the resurrection power, and it's the power that comes from above. That's grace. That's given to us by grace. But love is literally the being of Christ living in us. Because if God is love, and that's what the Word says, and we're in Christ who is God, guess what? That love is in us. And when we become more like Christ through faith and by the grace of God, we will be a divine expression of His love to others. And where does it start? Right here with our family. Family of God. And we're going to see later, if you can't love the body, the love of God is not in you. Because the truth of the matter is you can't love the head, which is Christ, and hate the body. It doesn't work that way. So that's why we have fellowship. That's why fellowship is so important. So that we can practice Christ's righteousness. And practicing Christ's righteousness is how we treat one another in that love. He gives us people who love us to be able to practice, because we're going to end up making mistakes as we're practicing, because we're still human. But what else does love do? It covers a multitude of sins. So as we practice and make mistakes, there's the grace that is given because of the love of Christ. We forgive one another when we step on each other's toes and hurt our feelers, right? Our little feelers. Well, some people call them feelings. I like to call them feelers. And we reach out and we just get so sensitive. Oh, look, he didn't look at me today. She didn't say anything to me. They're not very nice to me. It's not about emotions. It's about our relationship in Christ and with each other. It's not about how you feel. It's about who you are in Christ. And you know, like any family, there's some members in your family who you may not like very much. But you know what? You love them anyway and you'll do whatever you can for them. Why don't you like them? Because they've treated you wrong, so to speak. They've done all these different things that you resent. But God says, get rid of that bitterness. Forgive them or you won't be forgiven. That's what Jesus says. In love. Allows us, motivates us to do that. So we're to have that family love. But I know everybody here likes each other. Or you wouldn't keep coming back. Huh? Hallelujah. Praise God. So that's what our message is about today. And we're going to look at Romans 12:9-13. Let's go ahead and read it. And it says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. So, what we see here, is as the family of God, sacrificial love is the essence of us being in Christ. You will have that sacrificial love if you are in Christ. Now, let's say this. It grows with your faith as well. All right, you may start off when you first come to Jesus not being very loving and caring for one another, but as you grow in faith, grow in the unity of faith, you'll grow in His love as well, because love is a fruit of the Spirit. I like to call it the first fruit of the Spirit, which all the rest of the fruit grows from. So the glue that holds us together is Christ or God's agape love, the love we're to have for each other, because when we love the Lord with all of our being, we'll love one another in Christ's love. And that's the key. If you're not loving your brothers and your sisters very much, guess where it starts? Surrendering to God. And loving Him with all your heart, the heart where Christ is formed, with all your mind, the one that's renewed, you're transformed by the renewing of your mind, with all your strength, the strength that God gives you, and with all your soul, that soul that's being molded to be like Christ. That's where it starts. So if you feel as though you don't love enough, and God will convict you of this, as I've been convicted of it, start with that. Focus on the author and finisher of your faith. What we're going to look at today is we're going to explore the meaning of love with regards to following eight characteristics. And I'm just going to summarize them as sincerity, discernment, affection, honor, enthusiasm, patience, generosity, and hospitality. That's what love is going to look like. And each one of those builds upon the other. So as your love grows, you're going to grow from sincerity to discernment, from discernment to affection, from affection to honor, from honor to enthusiasm to patience, from patience to generosity, and finally to hospitality, where you're going to open up yourself and open up your home to others. So they build upon one another. And it's done as we're perfected in Christ's love. And it's done by serving one another with the spiritual gifts given to us. And we do so through the fruit of the Spirit, which is grown within us as we imitate Christ. You want more fruit of the Spirit grown in you? Imitate Christ. Surrender to Him. Practice His righteousness. And He promises it'll be grown in you. And we practice His righteousness on each other. 1 John 2:5-6. Let's turn there. We're going to see that love produces obedience. Obedience isn't something we do with our mind. It's something we do with our heart. The desire to obey. Doesn't mean in our mind it's always going to happen. But we have that desire as Christ is formed in our heart. And it says, 1 John 2:5-6, but whoever keeps His word, that would be the word of God, the Bible, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he, Jesus, walked. How did Jesus walk? He walked as the divine expression of love from the Father. And when we imitate Christ in the Spirit, we will imitate the love he shares. Not imitate like a false imitation, but literally the love poured out in our heart being shared with one another. Amen? All right, so that's what we're going to cover today. Let's go ahead and look at verses 9 through 10. And it says, basically I summarized it, don't try to fake God's love. It will show by how you treat others. You know, a lot of people can come to church and act really pious and holy and loving, but how are they at home? How are they at work? How are they at the store when you meet them, so to speak? Do they have time for you? Or is it a bother? Verse 9 says, let love, this word is agape in Greek. And it's a supernatural love that comes only from God through Jesus Christ. God is agape. That's His being. It's not just His character or characteristic of Jehovah God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is what He is. He is love. That's what the Word says. And if you are in Christ, your hope is in Him because God's love has been poured out in you. Hope has grown out of love. He says, you know, that we hang on to faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is what? Love. Because that's the glue that holds us to Christ and the motivator of all that we do. That's the operating system in our heart when Christ is formed in us. That's like the microprocessor that says, hey, this is what you need to do. And then we get up here in our mind and it's got all these different programs and stuff. It says, well, I just may not get to it right now or whatever. But our heart's still saying, love one another. And then we just got to continue being transforming in our minds to put it into action through faith. And that's what the Word is here to do, to transform your minds. Because it's through our knowledge of Jesus Christ that we can begin to imitate Him. As that gives us understanding into what we're to do and what love really means. Romans 5:5. Let's turn to Romans 5:5. Now hope does not disappoint. Why? The hope we have in Christ doesn't disappoint. Why? Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. The love of Christ, supernatural love, has been poured out in our heart. And in that love, we know that our hope is a reality that's going to come. The reality that we have in Jesus. What is that reality? That we are going to be conformed to the image of Christ. And this is a process that we're going through. That's the hope that we have in Jesus. The hope we have of salvation. Salvation as we continue to work it out in fear and trembling. To will and to act according to God's good pleasure. That's salvation. We grow in salvation. It's a process. All right? That's what this life is about. The process of salvation taking place once we have Christ formed in our heart and the Holy Spirit living in us. And the love of God, agape, is the essence of what we are in Christ, as it is the circulatory system of the body of Christ. If we're a body, then there's got to be something that's flowing through us to keep us nourished and keep us fed and keep us healthy. What is that? Love. Agape. Supernatural love of God Himself. As His love pumps through each of us individually in order for us to function collectively as the body, working harmoniously in a healthy manner. And what's a healthy manner? In accordance with the will of God. That's what pumps through our veins. Now, sometimes we can get blood poisoning. What's blood poisoning in this case? Spiritual blood poisoning is bitterness and unforgiveness. That's blood poisoning. Because what does that do? That hinders God's love in us and to share with others. But He's got a medicine for us. It's called repentance and surrender and giving it all to God. Someone's hurt you, lift it up to God and say, "Give me the forgiveness to forgive him." Remembering that we have been forgiven for so much. Oh, whatever that person has done can't be any measure to what God has given you forgiveness for. Amen? Get rid of that blood poisoning. Get rid of that bitterness, because bitterness leads to hatred, and hatred stifles us. And that's why it says, that's why Jesus said after He gave us the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, He says, "Forgive one another or you yourself will not be forgiven." Why? Because God's love won't be in you. You'll literally be isolating yourself. And if you are unforgiving, your relationship with Christ is going to be hindered. Your prayers are going to be hindered. Your walk is going to be hindered. Your relationship with others are going to be hindered. And what is it really that you're dealing with when you have bitterness against someone? Pride. Oh, they disrespected me. They hurt my feelers. Oh, get over it. Get in Christ, as you already are. But it's the mind that has to be transformed. Transformed by remembering what Christ has done for us. And that's why communion is so important for us to get back to where we need to be. As we remember all that He has done for us. And we'll be taking communion next Sunday. So, we'll do God's will. And we do God's will as we return the love He's given us back to Him. We'll love God with all our heart, mind, strength, and soul. And we can only do that through surrender. And guess what that produces? Then we'll love one another as Christ has loved us. A sacrificial love. And this results in true obedience. Because all the law, all the statutes, all the regulations, all the requirements of God boil down to that. Love God with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. Paul boiled it down to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Because if you can't love your neighbor as you love yourself without first loving God with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul. But Jesus says those are the two greatest commandments. Love God. Love others, which we're going to get to here. So let's go ahead and read 1 John 2:3-11. See what this is all about. See what the meaning of this is. As we see, His love is perfected in us. 1 John 2:3 through 11. And it says, "Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning." What was from the beginning? Love one another. That was from the beginning. "Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him." When you're abiding in the light, who are you abiding in? Jesus Christ. When you're in darkness, who are you abiding in? Yourself. Verse 11, "But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." So loving one another is no small matter. And it's a good litmus test of where you're at with loving God. Because he promises if you love him, you will have a love for one another. By this, we know absolutely that we know him. And what is this? Well, keeping his commandments. As this shows, the love of God is perfected in us, meaning that we are truly in union with Christ. And his love is consummated in our character. Consummated has been made complete in our character. When you have consummated a union, it's made complete. Just like in a marriage. Remember it says in Ephesians chapter 5, which, Carrie's going to preach on. It's a litmus test. Loving one another as Christ has loved us. May we do so. And as a marriage, as Carrie's going to preach on, that it says that a husband and wife will submit one another and that a husband will love his wife as Christ loved the church. Christ loved the church how? Sacrificially, by dying for the church, giving himself completely over to the church, for the church, to live in the church, or more specifically, for them to live in him, in the love of God. God's divine expression of his feeling, so to speak, for us. And feelings do come from God. The problem is that we have fleshly feelings instead of righteous ones. We are consummated, made complete in our character because we are perfected in God's love. And we have become what he is. Love. God is love, we become love. It's not a word, it's a what. It's what we are. It's not a feeling. It's what we are because of who we are in Christ. And this love gives us hope, the hope we have in Christ to continue to change us, as we know he will. As Christ is formed in our hearts and through this love, we are perfected and made complete in him, as this is what we've become in Christ, a new creation, a spiritual being that functions properly, all because his love is in us. We are a spiritual being. Each one of us is a spiritual being, and collectively we are the body of Christ spiritually. And each one will function as we should by having the love of Christ in us, and we're sharing it with one another. And it has become a new commandment because it is now true in him. Before Christ came and died on the cross and the Holy Spirit lived in us, it was merely a command that was going to be made complete at the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It was something you could do externally, but you didn't have the enablement of the Holy Spirit to do it internally. Does that make sense? If it don't, trust me. That's what happens. It went from being an external command, like being nice to one another and externally treating them, you know, as you should, to where you literally now love them as a relative. Love them as your family. But not in something you can manufacture yourself, but what is in you because of the Holy Spirit. So it wasn't double speak that John says, oh, I give you an old commandment, not a new one. Then it goes on to say, but I give you a new commandment, which is made in Him. Now in Christ, it can be complete. It can happen. And He would never tell us to do something we couldn't do in Him. And what does He say? Love one another as I have loved you. So it's something we're enabled to do when we come to Christ. Jesus said, let's look at John 13, 34 through 35. I want you to see where He said this. A new commandment I give you. Here's where John says a new commandment. Jesus said in John 13, 34 through 35, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. How are they going to know that we're disciples? Because we will have love for one another. No matter what a motley crew we may look like from the world's perspective, we will love one another. And that's because we are disciples of Christ. We are learning from Him. We are growing in Him. And His love is growing in us and being shared by us. Something He does into and through us. Again, nothing you can manufacture yourself. Like a fruit of the Spirit can't be manufactured. It has to be grown. We're not producing widgets here. That's why love is not to be done in hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is when you try to do it yourself. You act like you love somebody, but you really don't. You can't. You don't even want to be around them. I'm checking a block here. I went to church Sunday. Gives you some kind of false sense of security. Instead of, oh man, I need to get to church. I got to get there, see what everybody's doing, talk to everybody, love on each other. Got to see them. I miss them. Do you have that feeling? I pray we do. If not, start with loving God. And He'll give you that feeling. He won't draw you away as a cold coal that's setting off here by yourself. He'll bring you together as a fire that's burning with the fire of the Holy Spirit living in each of us. And the spiritual gifts given to one another to help each other through this dark and dying world. Otherwise, the truth of the matter is, you're still walking in darkness. As the love of God is not in you. That's what John says. Because you can't love the head, as I said, without loving the body too. And John just emphatically said so. So, thus, our love is to be without hypocrisy. It's got to start from the inside. Remember, we're changed from the inside out. You can look pious, you can look loving. But the word's cautioning here. Don't try to do it yourself. Love is to be without hypocrisy. So our first word here is we must be sincere. This is the first quality of love that we're going to look at. We must be sincere in our love for one another. The Greek word for hypocrisy means play acting, like an actor on a stage. You're just playing a part. It's not really who you are. So love has to be who you really are, not just acting like you love one another. Church isn't a place where we pretend to love Jesus and we pretend to love each other. In fact, love and hypocrisy are mutually exclusive. Love is founded and grounded in truth, whereas hypocrisy is founded and grounded in deceit. As the sons of perdition. Who are the sons of perdition? The Bible calls us saints. Guess what we call the sons of perdition? The ain'ts. Right? We're saints. And they ain't one of us, right? So we got saints and ain'ts. The sons of perditions are those who act like they love us. So they can come in and be multi-level marketers and do all these things and get to know you and try to manipulate you and get something from you. Those are the ain'ts. But those who are the saints want to give to each other, want to show their love for each other, want to help one another, care, truly care for one another. Because that's the expression of love. And it's divine. Something grown in us. So we must be sincere and not be ain'ts. Because just like Judas, their love is grounded in deceit. Judas gave Jesus the kiss of fellowship to identify him to the enemy. You can't get more deceitful than that. And that's what the ain'ts will do. They will come and kiss you in the cheek, so to speak, hug you in the hand, give you the hand of fellowship when they're just trying to deceive you. And the Word talks about this. It says there's going to be tares in along with the wheat. Well, we're not trying to figure out who's the tares and who's the wheat. Because you try to pull up the tares, you're going to pull up some wheat. So you let Jesus figure it all out. He already knows. So we just love one another. Later we're going to see in the next couple of weeks, we're going to love our enemies. And that takes a lot of love. But God's got it. He never runs out of love. Never runs out of grace. Never runs out of love. Never runs out of anything. So may we not run out on Him. Amen. The truth of the matter is in His love, as we go on and continue with verse 9, we will abhor or hate what is evil. We will cling to what is good. Meaning we will have the second quality of love. Discernment. Discernment isn't just tolerance or accepting what people say is okay. Discernment is we want to stay away from the things that aren't good and cling to those things that are good. Doesn't mean that we hate the sinner or whatever. We hate the sin and love the sinner. But we have discernment. We don't want to get tangled up in it. Whatever it is, no matter what the law of the government may say is good and permissible. God is a higher authority. And we're to stay away from those things that we know are ungodly. But we share the light and the truth with those who are living in those environments and in those lives. In fact, we're to literally hate the things He hates. And we are therefore to turn in horror. That's what the Amplified Bible says. We're to turn in horror from wickedness, as it is all from the deceiver himself. So do not associate with it or with him in any manner. In fact, Ephesians 5:11-12, and you don't have to turn there, it says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful to even speak of these things done by them in secret." In other words, we're not to know about these things. We're to be ignorant, so don't even speak about them to one another. But what's our flesh going to do? Oh, did you hear what they did? Oh, look at this. Oh, look at this fallen pastor. Look what he did. And everybody, oh yeah, tell me more. Tell me more. Stay away from that stuff. We're not even to speak of it. There, but by the grace of God, go each and every one of us. Amen. Pray for your pastors. Pray for other pastors. Pray for the members of this church to be on the highway of righteousness each and every day, to be obedient to God. And Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey me. Not because you have to, but because it's the desire of your heart, because that's what love gives us. The desire to please Him who first loved us. God giving His Son for us. And then enabling us and empowering us by God, the Holy Spirit that lives in us and comes upon us. So we're not even to speak of the things that they do. And certainly not supposed to watch them on sitcoms. You can't even watch a sitcom anymore without this stuff being in your face. And heaven forbid the reality shows. When you're watching that stuff, you know what? You're participating. Because guess what? He says if you have it in your mind, you've done it. Stay away from those things. And being made holy, we will cling. I like King James calls it cleave. The word is means the same. Cling and cleave mean the same thing. It means cling or stick to what is good like glue. Stick to what is good like glue. When you cleave, remember it says that's why a man will leave his family to cleave to his wife, to stick like glue to her. Can't see no light between him and his wife because they're together as one, consummated in marriage. Well, guess who we're consummated with? Jesus Christ in union with Him. There should be no light between us, as He is light. We stick to Him as like glue, and then we cling to what is good, because everything good comes from who? Jesus Christ. And goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life, because He is our shepherd. And we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23. Cling to what is good. Cling to Jesus. In union. As in a marriage. He has consummated us with His love. Made us complete in His love. And we are being perfected in His love. Not perfect, but we're being perfected. Because He's loving us and we're loving Him. And we're loving each other as a byproduct of all that. So, have discernment. You know, cleaving to Jesus is what it means to love God with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul. And this is where we get the word godliness. You're loving God with all your being. That's godliness. It's how you treat God. When you're treating God in this manner, grace pours out upon your life. Verse 10. Then we are enabled to love one another, which is righteousness. So be kindly affectionate to one another. Love each other as a family member, with brotherly love, as brothers and sisters in Christ, in honor, giving preference to one another, putting the other person first. Remember, joy. Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. Honoring one another, another term. Honor one another. Affection is another term, another quality. So we're going to be affectionate as a family. That's a quality we have of love. Then we're going to honor one another more than ourselves. Knowing that Christ lives in each one of us, and we all live together in Him as His body, and we give preference to one another, putting other people first, because this is the essence of dying to self and loving sacrificially, which Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. Put other people first, starting with your spouse, if you have one, which is the love of Christ being shared through us and demonstrates us being a living sacrifice. If you're a living sacrifice, it's going to be done in love. What did Paul say? In chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, the love chapter, before he gets into all the things that love is, he says, without love, it's just a clanging of a cymbal. It's meaningless. Whatever you're trying to do in Christ, or trying to do yourself thinking you're in Christ, is just a meaningless sound. That's what being a living sacrifice looks like. It looks like love. And he who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him, as the love of God is perfected in him, meaning there's no darkness in him. They're walking as Jesus did, in the light of God's love, and being sincerely consecrated to God, or committed to God, discerning His will for their lives, cleaving to God and His goodness, which is Jesus, loving Jesus with their entire being and loving one another as He did. And you can't fake God's love, as by God's design, it's just not in us to be able to do that. You can't fake true love. Not agape love. It takes the enablement of the Holy Spirit to produce the fruit of the Spirit for us to treat each other as we should, meaning to walk in righteousness, as we are to become slaves to righteousness. And this refers to how we treat one another. Godliness is how we treat God. Righteousness is how we treat one another. So you have the first four Ten Commandments had to do with God, and then you have the other six dealing with how we, with righteousness, how we deal with one another in the Ten Commandments. Romans 6:18, and having been set free from sin, you become slaves of righteousness, which is Christ's righteousness imparted to us. Slaves to it, meaning, hey, Christ is our Lord. He's our master. We're His bondservant, His bond slave. And so, therefore, we will imitate Him. Romans 6:22, by now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, slaves to Christ, bondservants, have your fruit to holiness, the fruit of the Spirit, and the end, everlasting life. Holiness is having the righteous character of the Lord Himself. And what qualities does that character possess? Well, Galatians 5:22 through 23 says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control." This is the inner man qualities of Christ. These are the things that are going to be produced in us. With love being the catalyst for all the other things, joy, peace, and long-suffering. 2 Peter 1:5 adds to these qualities. It says, "One of the qualities we'll have by loving one another and loving God is knowing Jesus." And we'll have godliness then, because when you know Jesus, you have godliness. You'll be treating Him as He would desire in a relationship, a loving relationship with Him. And we'll add to godliness brotherly kindness, which it talked about. Brotherly affection, or if you will, brotherly love. Philadelphia. A love for one another. Because we have agape, then we can have true love for one another. Brotherly kindness. And to add to brotherly kindness, agape. Because that's what causes it all. It's the love of God. And these are attributes of us having a Christian relationship called fellowship. That's the attributes of fellowship. All these fruit of the Spirit will be shown through our relationship with one another, which is practicing Christ's righteousness as He grows them in us, as His righteousness is imparted to us. Not only is it imputed where we're declared righteous, but now we start becoming more like Christ and acting righteously. How we treat Jesus and one another is dependent upon spiritual fruit growing within us. It can't be faked. Have I got you convinced of that? All right, well, let's close. Let's close then. The hope we have in Jesus is shown by how we serve one another. Verse 11, "Not lagging in diligence. We are not to offer up our service to God half-heartedly or out of some duty we think that we owe Him." You can't pay Him back for what He's done. It should be the love of God motivating you to serve Him. Half-heartedly would be meaning like, "Oh, okay, I got God living in my heart. I got Christ living in my heart, but I'm going to do this on my own." That's half-heartedly. You know, it's like your heart isn't with it, but I'm going to do it in the flesh. So serve God with your whole heart. As God has given us the attribute of His love, and it is to be what we become as well. And what is that? What's another word for love? Charitable. Charity. Charitable. Caring for one another. And He has empowered us with His spiritual gifts by which we are to graciously or charitably serve Him. Meaning, serving one another eagerly in love. Not hesitantly, not because we have to or the pastor asked me. It's because you're eager to do it. Because you love Jesus and the love of Christ is in you. And diligence is a spiritual provision against laziness. Spiritual laziness. It's easier not to do something than to put yourself out there, take the step of faith, and put yourself on the line to actually literally do something for somebody. It's easier to talk about it and agree with it, and then it's just theory. But that ain't how fruit's grown. Fervent in prayer, it says, serving the Lord. The word fervent means like a bubbling, boiling pot. What's that mean to us? Fervent in spirit means the refiner's fire of the Holy Spirit keeps the living water within us boiling hot. I like to call it cooking for Jesus. Man, we're going to be cooking for Jesus because we're doing it because the love of God is flowing through us and we're bubbling hot. We got the fire of the Lord in us and our vision is moving forward in Christ Jesus. Bubbling hot like a cauldron, just bubbling and boiling and just active. Not sitting there lukewarm. We're on fire for God. That's what the refiner's fire does. Puts us on fire for God like a bubbling hot pot cooking for Jesus. That's what fervent in spirit means. This is the spiritual enthusiasm. This is another quality of His love. Enthusiasm that we're to have serving Jesus, serving one another. So we're going to have diligence, which is a quality of His love. We're going to do it because it's there for us to do and we're diligent about it. And we're going to have enthusiasm. We're going to be eager to do it. His love produces that. That we're to serve Jesus and we're to serve one another. Verse 12, rejoicing in hope, regardless of the conditions that God has called us to serve in. You know, Maybe this isn't where you thought you were going to be. Maybe Dothan, Alabama ain't your paradise. But guess what? He brought you here for a purpose and a reason. And your reasonable service is to make the most of it while you're here. And if you don't like it here, love it. Amen? Because God's got you here. You don't have to like it, but you got to love it. Right? Amen. Be patient in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, as it says in Romans 5:3-4. Perseverance produces character, and character produces the hope we have in Jesus. So it all works together for the good, as we know our hope in Jesus never disappoints. It never disappoints. So He's got us here for a reason. He's got us here in this body of Christ for a reason. Surrender and serve one another. And you won't be disappointed, as Christ is the anchor of our soul and the harbor where we find calm seas, which is rest, love, joy, peace, and the fruit of the Spirit that's going to be produced in us resting in Christ and being obedient to Him. To continue steadfastly in prayer, as this is how we're to draw near to Him and He draws near to us. And difficult times do not excuse us to abandon hope or patience or continuing steadfastly in prayer. In fact, just the opposite is true. Trials and tough times are intended to draw us closer to Christ and to keep Him at the helm as we go through the storms of life. And it certainly doesn't excuse a lack of love in the body or a lack of willingness to serve Him or serve the body. You going through tough times? Glory in the Lord, because you know that it's producing perseverance, perseverance, character, and the character produces the hope we have in Jesus. Rejoice in Christ. And patience denotes not a passive putting up of things or putting up with things, but an active, steadfast endurance. And tribulation denotes deep, serious trouble. Not because your car happened to break, but the kind of trouble that comes from persecution, the loss of provision, serious illness. These life and death matters. And you say, well, provision's not a life and death matter. Well, it is if you're starving to death. And there's people out in the world that lack provisions that are literally starving to death. Verse 13, distributing to the needs of the saints. Before you give to the bum that's holding a sign, we'll work for food, liar. Give to the brothers. Give your love to the brothers. Help somebody in the family of God. That's where He's put you. So many people, well, I need to give a dollar here. I need to give a dollar there. Have you taken care of the body of Christ first? If not, why not? As He says, the priority is take care of the saints. That's how God provides for His saints. We're to share with God's people who are in need. The Greek word used for distributing or sharing is koinonio. And as being members in the family of God, we're members of one another, which is koinonia. So when you're in koinonia, you're going to have koinonio, the love that's going to be willing to share with one another. Share your lives, not just the things you have, but your life. And we'll provide for the needs of God's saints. Being generous, which is another quality of God's love. We'll be generous with what God has given us to help our brothers and sisters in Christ as He leads us to do. And then finally, as it builds upon itself, we'll also be given to hospitality. Opening up our homes, our little fortresses that we call our homes. Oh, this is my private space. No one can come in here. We'll be opening up our homes to Christian brothers and sisters who are traveling through, who are serving God away from their homes and families. And the context of this is to search them out. Not to wait to be asked, but to search them out and invite them to stay for a short period of time. We're not talking about weeks. In fact, I think it says 3 days in the rules that the apostles had put out. And certainly as the Holy Spirit would lead. So our application is the fruit of the Spirit is love. Every other godly quality flows from this. Sincerity, discernment, affection, honor, enthusiasm, patience, generosity, hospitality. And we see that these characteristics grow or are built upon one another as fruit in our lives, the fruit of holiness. As we yield to God, as we yield to God, He's going to yield fruit in us. And we are perfected in Christ's love as His love is perfected in us, and it's done by serving one another in Him as He is love. And God has given us spiritual gifts to serve Him and each member of His church. And we're to imitate Christ by practicing His righteousness and not by being actors merely playing a part. But as our reasonable service, each part of the body is to perform the specific function He's called you to do. And it's to be all done in His love. Amen. Did you love that message? I loved it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You. Thank You for the love of Christ that You poured out in our hearts. Thank You for the love that we have for You. May we love You with our entire being. And may we love the body as Christ loved the church. And we know that we are consummated and made complete in that love, as we are perfected in that love and His love is perfected in us. Father, may we go forward and not be afraid to show Your love to one another, but be willing and open to take those steps of faith and put ourselves on the line that we cross as we step forward in faith to do the will of God. Thank You, Father, for this message. May each and every one of us be doers of Your word and not just hearers only. And may You grow that fruit of the Spirit that You would desire us to have to enable us then to use Your spiritual gifts in order to glorify You through Your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.